Welcome to Big Blend Radio with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazine.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Big Blend Radio with Nancy and Lisa, you know, the full-time travelers on the Love Your Parks tour and publishers of Big Blend magazines. And many of you know we travel full-time and documenting parks and public lands while we do our magazines and podcasts of all interests, right? One thing we do as we travel is pet sit, and we get to hang out with dogs, cats, goats, chickens, tortoises, guinea pigs, bunnies. You know, you name it. And it's a very cool life to be doing this. It's a really cool way to see the world and to see the country as we travel the country. But we've met so many pet friends across the country. And so when we found out about Phoebe Cakes and Friends, this is a wonderful young reader series by Michelle Dumont and also illustrator Jennifer Taylor, we're like, well, we have to dig into this book. So Michelle is based in New Orleans, and the book is about Phoebe Cakes and Friends. And the second one is out. It's called An Alphabet Tale. So it's really about getting kids to understand and learn their alphabet, but in a really super fun way. They learn dogs, like the different dog breeds and characteristics. So it's really cool. Unfortunately, Phoebe Cakes has passed since Michelle first adopted her, but her story absolutely continues through these books, inspiring kids to learn and grow and have a good time. But welcome to the show. Michelle, how are you?
Great, thank you. And you have such a cool life. I would love to just travel and do what you're doing. It just sounds like so much fun.
You know, we're thinking of writing a book about pet sitting across the country.
I think you could just tell endless tales of, you know, your time at each spot. That would be so much fun.
Well, each dog, you know, or each pet, because I mean, they are fun. They really are. I have to say, you know, it.
If everyone goes to nationalparktraveling.com, that's our park website, and types in pet sitting across America, you'll see our map of all the pets we've taken care of over the last couple years.
Like the ideas are just coming to my head right now. I can already picture it.
It's exciting because I know that you adopt dogs and you've had dogs in your life. But what led you to go, okay, I'm going to write children's books? Because I know you're in the healthcare world, a respiratory therapist and asthma educator, which you've got to have been busy over the COVID pandemic, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
That had to have been a hectic time for you.
Yeah, it's getting a little better. Cross our fingers. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I still work in it. And I started writing just on a friend had taught, you know, I told her some stories, and she also writes, and she's like, you should write a book. And I had been thinking about it for like 10 years, but it was just very, you know, when you think about being a writer and it's kind of overwhelming and I don't know where to start and I know what to do. And I started just doing some research on the side. I do research with my job. So I just took that research experience and from healthcare it into writing. And I started here in New Orleans about 4 years ago at what's called the New Orleans Writers Workshop. And they kind of helped me, kind of navigate everything with the writers and the teachers there. So I had been really looking into children's books, and I have three children. They're actually my youngest one now is in college. She's our second year. But when they were little, I loved, you know, reading Dr. Seuss and Blue's Clues and the Rugrats. But I loved the offbeat stories of, you know, Dr. Seuss was rhymy and fun. And it was just fun to read those stories, and they stuck with me. And when I adopted Phoebe, it just took her everywhere with me. And I wanted to put her in we have Mardi Gras here. But in the weeks leading up to Mardi Gras, we have a parade practically every other day. And one of them is the dog parade. It's named Barkus. And Barkus, everyone can enter. You can bring, you know, I should know how many dogs entered this past year. But I'm not really sure. But there's 1,000 dogs, probably at least, in the parade.
Wow.
And you go through the French Quarter. Oh, they dress them up. They make their own little floats. The pet parents are usually dressed up. It is come one, come all. And so
do the
I
dogs
decided,
all get along in this situation?
I think that they pretty much, like, if you know that your dog, you know, does well with other dogs, then please come. But, you know, I haven't seen any bad incidents. So everybody seems to get along very well.
You know your dogs, like if your dogs aren't good on leashes,
yeah. But it's nobody's territory either, you know?
Yeah, they're all in a new zone.
You're walking through the French Quarter. So it's just, it's fun. And so many people come out.
Of a bunch of dogs, like really, that there's, their little sniffers are going berserk, right?
I think it's just, there's so much going on that they're probably overwhelmed. It's such a different experience, in a good way. Yeah. Like, oh, we've got to stop and look at everything more than we've got to run to everything. Mm-hmm. So I dressed up Phoebe, got her one of those red wagons, but more of a cart, and dressed that up as a float. And me and my friend, who's the illustrator, Jennifer Taylor, we walked through, you know, and Phoebe loved it. She just thought every day from that day on she should be in a parade. And there were so many kids. And at one point I thought that she was going to get a little overwhelmed because there were so many children who, you know, kind of flocked to you and, you know, each, you know, step of the parade is, you know, a new set of children and people and dogs. And she just loved it. And the first story just pretty much, you know, was writing itself as I was walking through, you know, the parade. And I went home that evening and began to write it. And it came out. Came really quickly. And interesting thing in my illustrator, she is a architect, but also does a lot of some stuff with the movies. And I just looked at her and I'm like, I can't find an illustrator. I'm like, but you're an architect. So I think I'm pretty sure you can draw a dog. And she's like, I'm not sure about this, but I'll try. And so that's how, you know, it all started. But
I love her illustrations because
and they bring it to life.
But there's a laid back quality to your books, both of them, where it's fun. It's you leave room for imagination for kids and for parents so that there's a discussion to be had. And I think it's like the illustrations are just like that perfect amount where it's not overproduced. You know, when an album,
it's simple.
Like in music, when it's overproduced and you lose that earthiness to it. I think there's something fantastic about the writing, the rhyming, and the rhythm you have. And that's something I wanted to ask you that's kind of weird, but like you work with people with breathing issues and asthma and you educate. So I kind of feel like those qualities go, and I think also Jennifer being an architect, like I want to scribble outside the lines, thank you very much. After, you know, as an architect, you have to be precise, and yet you can see she's like, I'm going outside the lines, watch this. You know,
gives you a lot of open, I think for us, it gives us that creative outlet to do and kind of throw the rule book, you know, out. Everybody asks me if there's rules, and I say that you just kind of have to find your own voice and what works for you. You know, you just let your imagination work for you. And we definitely, you know, kind of threw the script out and did what we wanted. So,
do you think the rhythm works though because of the breathing? That's what I was getting to with the asthma side and the respiratory thing. Because I mean, I know because I've had I've been a snotty-nosed kid my whole life, but there is a rhythm. And when I sang as a musician,
and timing,
there's a breathing thing that's a
there
rhythm.
There is. It definitely may take, I just don't even think about it anymore. Mm-hmm. So it may, you know, blend in with that, with my background.
You said
for
blend.
Sure.
We're excited.
She said blend.
Yeah. Blend. Yeah. Blend.
Welcome to Big Blend Radio.
Blend Radio. Yeah. So I think that, you know, it's just kind of, some things are just kind of second nature. So I don't think about it. And And when I find myself, people ask me certain questions and I'm kind of like, don't you think like that? And, you know, they're like, no, we don't think like this.
So we understand that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I was like, when I was writing the Alphabet Tarot, it took me like maybe 3 days and it just kind of comes to me and I just start writing and I may have, you know, like I may have 20, you know, ideas in my head of like, this is what I want to work on at some point. And one day something will just strike me. Someone will say something and it starts writing. So there's one other book that I have, the Christmas Tale, that'll be next year. But I knew that I wanted to do the Christmas book. I had a few ideas, but I'm not going to try to force the writing. It just kind of has to come to me. And usually when it does, like I get a line, it just starts to really write itself in my head. And I just kind of sit down and write it. And usually it doesn't take me but like a couple of days once that process starts. So I'm not one of those people who are like, I'm going to write it, you know, this book and I have to write it now and I have to write it in order. Because sometimes you have ideas, it'll be 3 pages down, you know.
Yeah.
But so you don't have to feel like I've written this page. I have all these great ideas 3 or 4 pages over. Sometimes you will write those 3 or 4 pages over, then come back and fill in, you know.
Sure. Absolutely.
Fill it in. So you don't feel like I never want my writing to feel like it's it was, you know, strained. I want it to feel like it flows and it has the rhythm and, you know, it's fun.
That's what the rhythm is great. And I love that you're showing all the different dog breeds and making it fun and asking questions. Did you know this? Did you, you know, so it makes the kids think, but the rhythm is important. That's what I'm saying. It's like you,
yeah.
And breathing and songwriting is the same kind of thing. You need to know where someone needs to land and stop so they can ingest, breathe,
and yeah,
capture what you've said. And that's why we have bridges and songs and choruses.
I think the book could be a song. It could actually become
musical.
A musical. A children's puppy dog song.
When my daughter was younger, she loved to read it, and she still does, read music lyrics and read poetry. And so maybe that kind of comes into it also. I really love reading music lyrics, and because it is like a poem. So maybe that, you know, come to think of it now, it probably comes back, you know, again, just kind of, again, second nature where you just don't think about it, but it's just that I've been reading those for a while and just, you know, looking at how that's written. So it probably does, you know, come into play when I'm writing.
And getting kids to understand the alphabet, tell us about the actual physical form of the book. I know we always get the advanced copies and we do PDFs and everything as we travel. So tell us, like, is it a hardcover book for families?
What are the ages? It is a it's a board book. So it is weighs about, I think it's like 1.5 pounds. It's actually really light. Yeah. It's thicker, but it looks like it should weigh more. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's all uniform. It's board books are very easier to print. And I did not know this. I knew I wanted to do board books. I knew that I wanted them to have flaps for, you know, find flaps and open them and have surprises. And it turns out that they're much easier to print because they're one medium, you know, each page from the front to the back is the same versus trying to print, you know, and other books where you have a flap cover and then you have a hard cover and then you have the pages in the middle, you can see where that is 3 different mediums to put together. And I was like, so many interesting things that I, you know, as I've been writing and then having them published, of things you wouldn't think of, but it turns out that it's a lot easier for printers to do these books. And I was like, well, that's great. Cause I was wondering if it was going to be harder because it's going to have the flaps and the things that I wanted to do. But you know, it's a nice sturdy flap book, so it, you know, it can kind of take a beating and it has the flaps inside. And then, you know, I love all dogs. So it was fun just for me to kind of research the different dog breeds.
I wasn't even sure.
I was like, I wonder if I can even come up with, you know, each letter. And then I started looking, I was like, there's many mixed breeds. And so a lot of them come into like mixed breeds, and it's kind of fun to learn about some of, you know, the Zapadnu. I would have never known anything with the Z, and some people call it a Zappa. So I thought that was, you know, pretty cute. And then there's the Mexican hairless dog, which is a Zolo. Mm-hmm. And I would pronounce the full name right now, but I would murder it. So I'm not going to try. But yeah, I would have never known about a Mexican hairless dog if I had not done this. But yeah, they definitely call them Zolos. So it just was fun to see the, you know, that kind of the nicknames version for them, and the different breeds that I had no idea about.
Wow. I mean, it's fun to get to know, because you have to understand their personalities too.
And also when I was, you know, looking at books or different dog breeds, I wanted to make sure that all of them were, you know, had good personalities. So each dog that's featured in the book is known to be child friendly and you know, companion dog, you know, something that you would want to have out, you know, as part of your family.
That's cool. I love this. And what a great way to learn the alphabet too, for kids to remember, because kids get so attached to their dogs. I mean,
yes,
that's their best friend. They go romping around, and dogs are our greatest protectors of kids too. You know,
yes.
My dogs were everything, and they still are. Just have other ones, other people's dogs to take care of, but they're still everything. They come first, you know, So I think it's really cool for kids to learn in that way and start to understand, you know, where dogs even come from. It's kind of like, where does our food come from? Well, where do our dogs come from? You know, and then you think about all these breeds, and they all come from wolves.
Yeah. And then you look at things like, you know, Shih Tzus and Chihuahuas and go, you came from a wolf.
Yeah. Your everything's just kind of blended.
Yeah. So. It's just when you got tiny.
Yeah. So this is out on September 13th for everyone to know. It's going to come out. And so where should people get the book? Mostly from Amazon, those places. I know they can follow you at Phoebe Cakes Dumont on Instagram. What's the best place?
Well, there's Amazon, there's, you know, Barnes and Noble, there's mostly all your book outlets, like Books a Million. You can Google and kind of find it anywhere. Of course, I'll have it some, you know, it'll be at Barnes and Noble stores, but a lot of people like to go to Amazon now. So I always tell everybody, if you can't find it, you can definitely find it at Amazon, but like Target, most of your normal stores or more well-known stores, they'll have them. But yeah, it's I kind of Google it sometimes and take a look, and it's like, oh, it's at Walmart, it's at Target, it's at a lot of the local stores for here in New Orleans.
Cool.
But also the Barnes and Noble, Amazon, and you know, your bigger bookstores, you can definitely find it if you're throughout the United States.
Well, I think it's a fun book, and I think kids need fun. You know, it's been a really crazy world the last few years.
I have friends who have younger children, and it definitely has been a hard last couple years. So it's good to have, you know, have fun and have something you can, you know, read and giggle and laugh and, you know, ask questions. And
well, one thing we keep talking about is the how dogs help us in our life. Like, you know, so many people work from home during COVID and still do. And I mean, we work from homes as we travel, and dogs will tell you it's time to get away from the computer. Dogs will tell you it's time to actually play outside and move your body. Dogs will comfort you in so many ways. And I think dogs always, for adults also, and for kids, I mean, they do so much, but they also get us out of, they just remind us to be kids again. Look at the worms. Look at this. There's something fun in the bushes over there. Let's go look at it, you know? So I think it's a cool thing about dogs. And I think that is what's so relatable about your book. So for the adults reading it with their kids and their children, it's going to get them to actually take a deep breath too.
Yes. Yeah.
This kind of book.
Mm-hmm. And I have my huge bulldog is actually sitting right beside me right now. And he's like snuggled up against me. He thinks he's 8 pounds when he's 80 pounds, mm-hmm. but yeah, he's the snuggler.
But they definitely think they're puppies. They want to get in your lap. They think they're puppies still.
Oh, he mm-hmm. definitely does. But my Frenchies and Fritz, they are a constant source of entertainment because they're always doing something that just makes me laugh. And, you know, just and they fight for your attention because if once it's in your lap now, they've all got to get in your lap. So mm-hmm. it does. I do have a couple of like videos where I'm being just looks like I'm covered in dogs. So and laughing because they're just like, you know, looking at me or something. But yeah, they definitely make you laugh and just it's good to laugh and it's good to be happy. So
mm-hmm. absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. Cool. So everyone, again, the book is Phoebe Cakes and Friends, an alphabet tale that is coming out September 13th through Susan Schott Press. And also you can get the one also about a Mardi Gras tale. So there's two books in the series and apparently more on the way, Michelle. So that's exciting.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Stay tuned. Yep. Each book I write, I'm like, I really love this. And the next one I write, I'm like, oh my gosh, I love that one even more. And mm-hmm. I didn't think that would be possible. So yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. And everyone, again, it's September 13th, Michelle Dumont. That's such a, you've got such a New Orleans last name, Dumont. Isn't that as New Orleans as you can get?
Yep, it is. Yep.
Yep, there it is. Isn't it? Is it Cafe Dumont? I mean, is it is
there Cafe Dumont? And that's Dumont. That Cafe Dumont is with a D, Dumont with a T. So, but yeah, it definitely
letters.
It's
one of those privateers back in the day. They switched the letters.
You can't, you know, the way people speak, you can hardly tell which is which. So
it definitely gets. A little confusing at times.
Dumont.
But hey, if you want to associate me with a beignet, it's fine.
Okay.
And most dogs will eat a beignet too. Thank you very much.
Definitely.
Is New Orleans a good dog city? I mean, I know you're talking about the Mardi Gras parade and everything, but is it?
Definitely.
People bring their dogs to go get beignets? I mean.
Oh, they bring their dogs everywhere. And there's even, you know, there's a site now that kind of comes up and tells you where the most friendly dog restaurants and there's a lot of dogs.
Isn't it dogfriendly.com?
Dog friendly. And so there's like the hotels, there's a lot of parks here. People bring their dogs everywhere. And there's a lot of businesses that have kind of cropped up and because everybody wants to buy toys for their pets and buy clothes for their pets and everything that you can think of pet related. Now it's definitely become a huge mm-hmm. industry. Like they're your little children.
They're family.
There's a dog bar in Colorado.
Everybody brings their dog to the bar.
Dog bar.
I don't know if we have one but that does sound wonderful.
There's dog parks where people are serving cocktails at the dog park. Florida somewhere. But Louisiana should have it. You have drive through daiquiri stores.
Exactly. They've got, I'm sure there's definitely one. I'm sure there's got to be one somewhere here. New Orleans is not going to go without having, you know, somewhere where you can have your alcohol and your pets.
Louisiana, you live in one of our favorite states of this country. Seriously, there's something about Louisiana that is just so down home and real. And then you just, you know, then you'll tell someone, oh, you're so special. And then, you know, oopsie.
I definitely I say that, you know, I can't imagine you know, living anywhere else. Honestly, it's a little strange, a little weird, and it's just, there's something for everyone, and it's real, and definitely for writers and entertainers. It's just there's never a loss of inspiration.
No. So. And New Orleans, I just want to say, like, you know, you guys have gone through so much over the years, like so very much. And, you know, the animals too, all the hurricanes and the dogs. That's something I wanted to touch on, because that is, so many dogs get, you know, they get lost in the shuffle, you know, and nobody means it. A hurricane is a hurricane. We've been through wildfires. We've been through some of the extreme things, and it is extreme and it takes years, but I'll tell you, the communities in Louisiana, it's amazing to me how you all just are so strong and resilient, and, you know, and the dogs are part of this. It's like, no,
yeah.
You know, you put a Catahoula in there too. I thought that was so
cool. Yes, the Catahoula. Yep. Gotta have the state dog in there.
You had to, but I mean, the dogs, I think that's something, you know, of, as we go through these catastrophic, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer here, but we are across the country, but dogs are important. It's important. I always want to do kind of a PSA. It is actually, I don't like the dog cage things, but we actually do need them. Dogs in situations, if you are in an area where things can happen and your dog can be trained to be in one of the crates, it's a very important thing for their rescue. I mean, do you guys have like training or something like that in New Orleans that helps pet owners, pet parents know what to do during a disaster
for their
pets?
They definitely do a lot of preparedness. You know, there's always I know even through the veterinarian that we see, there's, you know, of preparedness and what to do and or what to think of, you know, for, you know, you prepare for your children, prepare for everything else. You need to prepare for your pets also. So they do have a list of things. And, you know, last year when we had Ida, I had, you know, picked up the three dogs and we went to Florida. I think all of us went to Florida. It was funny, when I got to the hotel, someone asked me that was not from Florida, Louisiana. They're like, is there a dog conference? And I was like, no, everybody just, you know, we all brought our pets. The hotel was pet friendly. And, but yeah, having everything in place, I don't know if I had not have had that preparation kind of checklist, that I may have not thought of something, you know, because you definitely feel like it is like having children. I do tell people whenever someone's getting a dog, I do like to tell them now of like, hey, just remember, because it does become expensive. You know, you do the preparation of like the cages, and knowing that if you're going to have to evacuate, which can quite often happen, especially everywhere now, for one reason or another, that you kind of have to have that plan of where you're going to go, and can your pet come with you, and what options that you have. So
having a checklist is really cool that you're saying, because things move so fast when a disaster happens and you have to kind of figure out what you're going to do. But having that checklist, because it's emotional and we're running on adrenaline, right? And we're like, no, we need to get things done, but a checklist is like a savior.
Yeah,
everything
keeps you.
Because when you think
keeps
about
you
it,
focused.
Like, you need your, like, the one only thing that I did not bring with me was the blankets to like cover furniture.
Oh yeah.
And so that was the only thing that I forgot. Now I remember now to like pack a blanket that I like to like maybe cover my bed with, because I know they're gonna be running all over the bed. And so I do have a big blanket that will, so if they want to wallow all over the bed, but I won't sleep in hair that night, or not a lot of hair anyway. But yeah,
she is a respiratory
I am a respiratory therapist.
I've gone British on us here lately.
Yeah,
but yeah, I've been hanging out with my British friend, South African British friend, and I'm like my accent's messed up. But the respiration thing, respiratory.
Yeah.
I can't do it now.
Either one is fine. Yeah, but yeah, definitely. I have. Sometimes when I my previous job, I would go to people's houses and look at things for their pets, because you have pets and, you know, they're bringing a lot of allergens. Some don't, some do. Mm-hmm. And there is a lot that goes into having a pet. And I think that I was thinking about kind of doing a blog of things to think of.
I think that would be fantastic.
That are adopting, because I definitely, I've learned so much over the years, and there's just so much more out there than, like, when I was little, I had a German Shepherd, and, you know, you had like three different dog food brands at that time, maybe, to pick from, and you didn't have all these, you know, the medications and preventatives that you have now, so it's a lot to look at and think about, yeah.
When you do that, let's talk, because I'll tell you, we can give you some connections of what, I mean, just from our insight from traveling and taking care of so many animals, most animals now have allergies like human beings do.
Yes,
and I know.
When I was growing up, animals weren't allergic to, you know, dogs were fine to run around the grass. Now they're not. Yeah. We're doing some stuff that we need to learn about. But we did have a horse that we stabled when we lived in South Africa. We had like a property with stables, and he was Club Med. He was allergic to the hay
to
and the straw and to dirt.
And his hooves were crumbling.
Mm-hmm.
It was the most insane thing, and so nobody knew what to do.
And I think it's also hard, like the purebreds, and you talk about the different breeds in your book with Alphabet Tail. Mm-hmm. You know, Nancy and I were talking about this actually, with knowing that you're coming on the show. We were talking about the breed. A lot of times, they're actually have more issues than mutts.
Exactly. I do tell people too, like, if you're, because I don't think you can get away with, you know, there's sometimes you can't get away without purchasing a dog. If there's a certain dog breed that you want, I just tell everybody to make sure that you really look at that breeder. If you can find,
don't be a backyard breeder.
Make sure that with a reputable breeder, you know, you can probably check on their siblings, you know, from past litters that they've had, and just do your due diligence. Don't just get, you know, I never want to see, like, when I've gotten pets from rescues, you know, there's all kinds of reasons why they're there at the rescue. And, you know, there's a lot of things that just really could have been prevented easily. And, but there's a lot of reasons that come there, but I just want to make sure, if you do have to go the route of, you know, getting a pet through a breeder, then just make sure you do your background checks on the breeder. And there's a lot of reputable breeders, but also there's a lot of people who are just in it for money and have no idea, you know, really what
they're just doing it for money. Backyard breeders, and they're not really taking care of the animal. And the more we support them, the more they're going to be there.
Yes.
You know? So it's an important thing, but thank you so much. I'm so excited about your book series and glad that you're doing more than one book, and now you're on two, and we know three. We know you mentioned Christmas, so we're waiting for that now. So please keep us posted, and please do the dog blog, you know, the dog blog. It just makes sense.
I think that's cool.
Yes.
I think it's really cool. You know, it's, I mean, it's just, there's so much going on, like, dogs are going through what humans are going through now, medically.
Just from the pandemic, there's nothing of, like, your dogs, the separation anxiety, if you may be going back to work, and just the, you know, everybody got dogs when they were home. And so there's all kinds of things that you have to keep in mind of, you know, what's your dog going to do while you're maybe gone now for longer periods, or, you know, so there's so much to think about.
They peanut like butter children. and a frozen Kong.
Exactly.
Do it peanut every butter single is, day, like, you know.
Peanut butter is a friend. Yeah. So
You got to think of them as your kids, like you were saying earlier. I mean, that's why we pets it a lot. So many people got pets during the pandemic.
Yes.
So they started off their lives together, and so it's like, even when we pets it, we go spend the night before we actually start the sit, just so everybody's cozy together.
It's
like this process. It is, you know, they're kids too. So, and I think that, again, going back to your book, that writing about dogs and getting kids to learn through dogs, something that they really identify with, puts a dog at the top of the list for people to remember their family. So Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a real pleasure having you on the show.
I enjoyed it. Thank you. I can't wait to like follow you guys around and see what else we get into.
Well, we're going to be following you too. Like, and listen, when we get to New Orleans, let's go for a dog walk, okay?
Oh, that'd be fun. Yes, of course. And, that would be a blast.
And we'll go get beignets at Café Dumont, however you pronounce it. I can't
remember. Exactly. You did it perfectly. Perfect.
Oh, I did? I get 10 points then. Thanks so much, Michelle.
Thank you. Have a great evening.
You too. Take care.